Going to be looking in the scriptures of 2 Samuel, chapter 11, verses 1 through 27. If you want to look it up, and if you feel like standing for the reading of the word, it's a little bit of reading, so you, I don't know if you're going to want to stand for all of it or not. 2 Samuel, chapter 11. In the spring, when kings marched out to war, David sent Joab with his officers and all Israel. They destroyed the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. One evening, David got up from his bed and strolled around on the roof of the palace. From the roof, he saw a woman bathing, a very beautiful woman. So David sent someone to inquire about her, and he said, "Isn't that Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam and wife of Uriah the Hittite?" David sent messengers to get her, and when she came to him, he slept with her. Now she had just been purifying herself from her uncleanness. Afterwards, she returned home. The woman conceived and sent word to inform David, "I am pregnant." David sent orders to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." So Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked how Joab and the troops were doing and how the war was going. Then he said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." So Uriah left the palace, and a gift from the king followed him. But Uriah slept at the door of the palace with all his master's servants. He did not go down to his house. When it was reported to David, Uriah didn't go home. David questioned Uriah, "Haven't you just come from a journey? Why didn't you go home?" Uriah answered David, "The ark, Israel, and Judah are dwelling in tents, and my master Joab and his soldiers are camping in the open field. How can I enter my house to eat and drink and sleep with my wife? As surely as you live and by your life, I will not do this." "Stay here today also," David said to Uriah, "and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah stayed in Jerusalem that day and the next. Then David invited Uriah to eat and drink with him, and David got him drunk. He went out in the evening to lie down on his cot with his master's servants, but he did not go home. The next morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it with Uriah. In the letter, he wrote, "Put Uriah at the front of the fiercest fighting, then withdraw from him so that he is struck down and dies." When Joab was besieging the city, he put Uriah in the place where he knew the best enemy soldiers were. Then the men of the city came out and attacked Joab, and some of the men from David's soldiers fell in battle. Uriah the Hittite also died. Joab sent someone to report to David all the details of the battle. He commanded the messenger, "When you're finished telling the king all the details of the battle, if the king's anger gets stirred up and he asks you, 'Why did you get so close to the city to fight? Didn't you realize they would shoot from the top of the walls at Tibiz, who struck Abelech, son of Jerubusheth? Didn't the woman drop an upper millstone on him from the top of the wall so that he died? Why did you get so close to the wall?' Then say, 'Your servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also.'" Then the messenger left. When he arrived, he reported to David all that Joab had sent him to tell him. The messenger reported to David, "The men gained the advantage over us and came out against us in the field, but we counterattacked right up to the entrance of the city gate. However, the archers shot down on your servants from the top of the wall, and some of the king's servants died. Your servant Uriah the Hittite is also dead." David told the messenger, "Say this to Joab, 'Don't let this matter upset you, because the sword devours all alike. Intensify your fight against the city and demolish it. Encourage him.' When Uriah's wife heard that her husband Uriah had died, she mourned for him. When the time of mourning ended, David had her brought to his house. She became his wife and bore him a son. However, the Lord considered what David had done to be evil." Lord, we thank you for your word. Give me the right words to speak, Lord, so that your people will hear and understand what you are wanting to say. We ask it in your name. Amen. You may be seated. How easy it is to stray from God, even in the smallest thought. You know, David was always considered to be, you know, a man of God, and you think such an act like that is just, you know, horrible. But things that we think can get us into a lot of trouble if we act on them. David saw this woman and desired her. That wasn't exactly bad in itself. You know, we all will see somebody and go, you know, cute, especially as, you know, as teenagers, you do a lot. You know, wow, that guy's, he's cute. You know, he's got muscles, all that stuff. He desired her. What turned out to be the bad thing was he acted on the desire. He saw her and he wanted her, and he wanted her bad enough that he was going to have her. And if you look at it, you know, this is a king. Who's going to deny the king, you know? No, I'm a married woman, sorry, can't come, you know. It's the king. Okay, I'll come, you know. And granted, she should have said no. So, you know, they're both at fault for this. And I don't believe that she was out there taking a bath to lure King David, you know. My footnote had said that the palace was huge. You know, it would have been the tallest place, so he could have stood on his roof and looked down on all of Jerusalem. So he just fixed his eyes on her. I believe she loved her husband. I don't think she set out to, you know, do this with David. But in any case, you know, they were both at fault for it. Her father and her husband were both two of David's elite soldiers. But this little seed of a thought grew. And as David watched her, that desire grew until he just had to have her. So he sent someone to get her. And they slept, and, you know, the sin grew, and now its little tentacles are wrapped all around. A child is going to be brought into the picture. So David's going, what can I do now? You know, got to get Uriah back here and sleep with her, and then it'll be all covered up, you know. I could just imagine his thinking there. But he didn't seem to realize Uriah's faithfulness. You know, his other soldiers, the commanders, his, you know, as he said, his master, they're all still out there fighting this, in this battle. You know, I'm not going to come home and sleep with my wife and eat and drink and have a good time while these men are out in tents and, you know, getting killed. So David's looking at, you know, what do I do now? You know, I've got, here's this dilemma, and I'm sure, you know, she's getting bigger. It's going to be known soon. He's panicking. I've got to do something. So this idea pops into his head. I'll just put Uriah in the front of the lines and he'll get killed. And then problem will be solved. And so that's what he does. He puts him in the front lines, and Uriah is a faithful soldier. He goes out there and he does what he's told and he gets killed. So she mourned for her husband, and then she went to King David, and this son was born. The guy considered it evil what David did. Now, we're all sinners. We all mess up. You know, our biggest problem with sin is if we try to cover it up and we don't ask God to forgive us for it. It becomes like this stone weighing us down and just pulling us deeper and deeper. And for some people, they never repent, so the sins just start adding up, one sin after another. And like David, you know, the one problem started here. He acted on that little thought, and all of a sudden the man is dead. And other men, for that matter, because, you know, yeah, he wanted Uriah dead, but other men died in the same process. So, you know, it grew to a very large problem. So then we go into 2 Samuel and chapter 12, and I'm going to read 1 through 14. So the Lord sent Nathan to David. When he arrived, he said to him, there were two men in a certain city, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one small ewe lamb that he had bought. He raised her, and she grew up with him and with his children. From his meager food she would eat, from his cup she would drink, and in his arms she would sleep. She was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man could not bring himself to take one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for his guest. David was infuriated with the man and said to Nathan, "As the Lord lives, the man who did this deserves to die. Because he has done this thing and shown no pity, he must pay four lambs for that lamb." Nathan replied to David, "You are the man. This is what the Lord God of Israel says. I anointed you king over Israel. I rescued you from Saul. I gave your master's house to you and your master's wives into your arms. And I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. And if that was not enough, I would have given you even more. Why then have you despised the Lord's command by doing what I consider evil? You struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword and took his wife as your own wife. You murdered him with the Ammonite sword. Now, therefore, the sword will never leave your house. Because you despised me and took the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your own wife. This is what the Lord says, I am going to bring disaster on you from your own family. I will take your wives and give them to another before your very eyes, and he will sleep with them in broad daylight. You acted in secret, but I will do this before all Israel and in broad daylight." David responded to Nathan, "I have sinned against the Lord." Then Nathan replied to David, "And the Lord has taken away your sin. You will not die. However, because you treated the Lord with such contempt in this matter, the son born to you will die." Then Nathan went home. The Lord struck the baby that Uriah's wife had borne to David, and he became deathly ill. So this whole, you know, this whole thing just got way out there. But because David had the good sense to repent, granted it had to be brought to his attention, you know, that he messed up. If Nathan hadn't come, you know, I don't know that David would ever brought it out in the open, but Nathan, the prophet, came and brought it to his attention, and David's life was spared, but the son died. And someone has to die for sin. For us, you know, God forgives us of our sins when we repent. But there has to be a death. For us, Christ died for us. That was the ultimate sacrifice. But a lot of people look at it, you know, things happen and you know, God just turned his back on us and God did this and God did that, not seeming to realize that they sinned in the first place. All God wants is a relationship with us. And when we sin, and we're all going to, because we live in a sinful world, it's a broken world, not a one of us are going to be perfect until we get to heaven. So when we sin, we need to make sure that we repent, that we ask God for his forgiveness, so that the blood that Jesus shed for us, you know, can cleanse us. For every action, there's a reaction. So, you know, the sin started here with this little desire, and it grew. And the reaction out of this sin was the death of his son. But God, in his wisdom and his love, took them after the repentance, and he gave them another son. And that son became a great leader, and he became the wisest man ever to have lived. That was Solomon. And the first time I read this time, which has been, I've read it many times, but the first time I read it, I went, wow, I never realized that, you know, Solomon was their child, that God had forgiven them indeed. You know, Bathsheba had become his wife, and they lost this child. They had sinned, and I thought, oh man, that's such a great sin that David did. But God blessed them. But God would not have blessed them if David had not repented of his sin. I believe that if he had not repented, God would have took his life because of it. But the one thing that is so interesting about King David is, you know, he's considered to be a man after God's own heart. And the reason for that is he knew how to repent. He knew he needed to repent. Whenever he sinned, he asked God to forgive him. And if you look into Psalms, you'll find a lot of verses that will say that he is asking God to forgive him and to restore him. You know, we break God's heart when we sin. And it breaks our relationship with him when we sin. So if we want to have our relationship healed, we need to learn how to say, "Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me." And it sounds like such easy words, but I know a lot of times in my life when I have sinned and I knew I sinned, it was really hard to say that, to tell the Lord that I was sorry and to ask him to forgive me and to restore that relationship. But it's all about the heart. You know, God sees our heart. He knows whether or not we're truly broken or if we're just saying it because that's the thing to say, you know. We can't hide anything from God. I guess that's one of the great things about him, and probably one of the hardest things about him is you can't run from God and you can't hide. You know, David tried to hide his sin. He tried to do everything in secret, you know. He took her, he had her husband killed, you know, all of this thing, and forgot that God sees it, that God knows, until Nathan reminded him, this is what God is saying. So, you know, let's learn from King David and remember that when we sin, we need to come before God in humble and in love and with a broken heart, a broken spirit, to say, "Lord, forgive me, restore me," so that we can have our relationship restored once again. Just sin is an awful thing, and this world is full of it. And sometimes it's easy to fall into a sin because we didn't realize we got that far. You know, we can get into a situation that, I know for myself, I get into a situation frequently with non-believers that I'm thinking, "Oh, this isn't going to hurt, you know. I'm not doing anything wrong. I'm just here with them." And sometimes just being there with them can be a problem, you know. It's not that we're not, I mean, Christ went with where the people were. You know, where the sinners were. He went with the tax collectors and the prostitutes and all of that and didn't sin. And we can do that if our relationship is strong enough with the Lord and he's called us into that area. But if we step out on our own and get into the situation where, you know, we're putting ourselves at risk, it'd be like an alcoholic going into a bar. Not a good place to, you know, your friends are there and whatever, and you might be thinking, "I can witness, you know, God has brought me out of that." But you're putting yourself into a temptation that you don't need. And that's an easy place for a sin to creep in. So, you know, there's different situations that we can get into that can put us at risk with the Lord. It's not saying that we can't get it fixed, because as long as we can repent, it can be fixed. That's also not a thing of, you know, we should do that because God will fix it. You know, if I repent from it, it's okay if I go. That's not what I'm saying. You know, like I said, God sees our heart. He knows what we're thinking, what we're feeling. And if we're looking at a situation that, well, I can go into this situation, and if I mess up, God will forgive me. That's not what he's looking for. He wants us to go where he calls us. If he calls you into that situation and you have that issue, then he'll keep watch of you and he'll take care of you. But you got to make sure that if you're stepping into that situation and that is a problem for you, that that's where God has called you to be. And so just remember that, you know, what made King David great and a man after God's own heart was that he knew how to repent and knew that he needed to repent always when he messed up. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you see our heart. You know what we feel, what we think, and you know we're human and that we're in a sinful world and that it's really easy for us to fall into sin. We thank you, Lord, for Christ dying on the cross for us, that he took away our way of doing, you know, we come into it and have the ability to walk away. And that if we fall into sin, Lord, that all we have to do is ask you and you will forgive us. So we just thank you, Lord, for your word and help us to take it to our heart and remember that all we have to do is ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Our last song is page 406.